Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am, Deborah Bouffet, founder, owner of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, the Kids for Love Project, the Love by Intuition show, and everything else that comes under the umbrella of love. I am so excited this evening, and when you listen to it, it may be morning, noon, anytime, because the show is syndicated, and this is a Dream Vision 7 radio broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston, and you can hear this show that we're doing right now, also this coming Tuesday and Friday at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on our own syndicated station, Dream Visions, all one word, with an S on the end, the number 7radio.com. Well, we have internationally renowned relationship therapist, Dr. Love, the Dr. Jamie Turnoff, and I am so thrilled, as I mentioned, because not only is she gracing the airwaves here today with Love by Intuition, but she is also bringing her acclaimed Ask Dr. Love radio show to the Dream Vision 7 radio network. She's debuting August 19th and 20th with our station, and you'll be hearing her right on 1510 AM starting debut September 13th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Well, Dr. Love, everybody knows she is a relationship specialist. She has a Hay House show. She has a couple of books from Hay House. And Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. And we're going to be talking about the book as well as opening up the lines for your relationship questions a little later on. So, without further ado, Dr. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so excited to be with you.
Thank you. And you just came back from France.
Mais oui.
Yes. Yeah. And you have such information to share with us because you were married to an amazing, internationally known gentleman. And now he speaks to you from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about how, just share with us, please.
All right. Well, I'll tell you how it started, because it's such an amazing love story, and that
it
figures
is.
That Dr. Love would have such an amazing love story. So, Deborah, when I was a young girl, I actually had a premonition of the man that I was going to marry. I saw him fleshed out. I saw his face. I saw his body. And I saw everything about him. And so I said to myself, I'm just going to wait until he appears. I didn't date, which was a very old-fashioned thing to do, because I knew that whoever it was in front of me wasn't the man I had seen. So he did appear on the first day of my freshman year at Vassar College. I'd been shut out of all intro sociology, and I wanted to take sociology. So I asked the secretary of the department, how can I get into sociology? And she says, go ask the department chair, Jean Pin. Well, the minute I stepped into Jean's office, I had the first and only out-of-body experience of my life. I literally felt my soul shooting at high speed through a tunnel to the end of my life. And then when I shot back into my body, I received the message, remember every aspect of this meeting. He is going to be everything to you one day. And then I forgot all about the message and went about my life as a college student. Now, right after I met Jean, I found out that for most of his life, he had been one of the most famous Jesuit priests in history. He actually had taught at the Vatican, and he founded a movement called Liberation Theology, designed to fight church oppression from within. And he actually launched to international fame when he personally publicly opposed the Pope and the Catholic Church as they were trying to block the legalization of divorce. And he was a radical feminist Jesuit priest, and he didn't want to see women trapped in marriages where they were being abused. So he fought on the grounds of liberation theology, the separation of church and state. The church should butt out of the private sector, he said. And he won. And he changed the course of Italian history, and soon after, the Pope granted him the dispensation of his vows so that he wasn't excommunicated. He left the Jesuit order and the priesthood, and he was recruited by Vassar College. So he had already served as the chair of the Department of Sociology for 10 years before I met him on that fated day, the first day of my freshman year. Now, I have to say, because this is very important for our story, my background was completely different from Jean. I was raised by two devoutly atheist parents. The only religion they practiced was religiously hating each other's guts. They taught me not to believe in God or the afterlife. And so I had a completely different background from Jean. Now, in my senior year, I needed help with the statistical portion of my thesis. And even though Jean wasn't my advisor, I asked him if he would help me with my statistics because I had heard that, among other things, he had founded the Vatican's first and only social research center. So he was a statistician on top of having 10 doctoral degrees and speaking 10 languages. So he helped me just out of the kindness of his heart. And within a couple of days, we knew, Deborah, we knew we were crazy for each other. Despite our different backgrounds, our different cultures, our different religions, our different generations, we were soulmates. We were twins separated at birth. We were crazy for each other. And
may I interject, Jamie, and ask you, did you speak to each other about this, or was it completely silent and you just knew yourselves?
We just knew. Yeah. It was just like the incredible tide, you know. And he said to me very early, something tells me we will always be together. Mm. And that's exactly what happened. We were inseparable for 27 years. We were just absolutely adoring of each other. Now, in the last year of his life, we both started to have premonitions separately that he was going to die of an accident. We just didn't know when or where this was going to happen. So we went to Italy on our final vacation, and I describe this in Love Never Dies. I give, all the details of what happened. But, you know, in a nutshell, we were sitting on the beach. His hand was up over his head as if to block the rays of the sun. And the next thing I know, a bee swoops down and stings his hand at the exact location of Christ's stigmata. And, Deborah, I watched my beloved suffocate to death in front of my eyes. And I can't even describe the trauma of having him ripped from me in this way. And, you know, I go back to the hotel room, and I'm lying on the bed, and I'm shaking, and I'm trembling, and I'm crying. I'm hysterical. And the next thing I know, I feel that man's hand stroke the entire length of my spine. And I sit bolt upright, and I look over my shoulder because I know what I felt. And I don't see him, but he was with me in spirit form, and he has been with me ever since that moment. Mm. And what is so extraordinary about this experience is that he proved to me, as a result of the fact that he's still here, And he continues to offer me astonishing and ongoing manifestations of his presence in front of witnesses. It's proven to me we don't die. And
right.
therefore, our relationships aren't meant to end in death. And so I've created what I call my new transdimensional grief therapy method. It totally diverges from the Western approach. The Western approach is grieve, let go, and move on and do it in 6 months. And this obviously leaves the bereaved at a greater loss. Instead, my method shows the bereaved how to say hello, not goodbye, and without the assistance of a medium, a channeler, or a psychic. And then there's just one more thing, because as a shrink, I know millions of people harbor unfinished business with those in spirit. And again, Western grief therapy gives us no way of making peace with the deceased. So my new dialoguing with the departed technique is the first vehicle in history for enabling the bereaved to not only reconnect, but also make peace with the deceased.
Right, which is huge.
Huge.
Oh, huge.
Right,
can change lives.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you, because I know there's those out there that will be thinking about that, when he was stroking your spine and you could not see him, did you have fear? Because
no.
some people are afraid of communication from
no.
the other side.
See, the thing is, and, you know, that's basically what I do. In part one of Love Never Dies, I take you through my own experience, my own discovery of Jean's presence.
Right.
And the fact is, you can't believe it until you experience it. The love is so profound
mm-hmm.
that there is no fear. It is only love.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, once they're freed from the vessel of the physical body, the love that they have for you enters you in such a profound way, it's even stronger and bigger than when they were in a body. So in part one, if you'd like, I can share some examples.
Absolutely, please.
Would you like me to? Okay. So the first thing, you know, I pick up basically from the night where Jean stroked my spine. And, you know, I describe how I came back to our home here in Millbrook, New York, and I'm awake the whole night. I don't sleep a wink. And Jean quotes something to me, and I'll tell you in a minute what he said because it's very significant. But the next morning after being sleepless, I hear Jean saying to me, "Jamie, I want you to open the kitchen door. I want to show you something." So I open the kitchen door, and Deborah, I see a chipmunk sitting on the stoop right at my feet. And he's not acting like a normal chipmunk. Normally a chipmunk would freak out, you know, and he would run away. But this little guy was in a trance, and he wasn't moving, and he didn't escape. And the next thing I know, he takes his little hands, and he begins mimicking my husband's bodily departure. He's literally ripping at his face with his little hands the way my husband was ripping at the oxygen mask because the air wasn't getting in. And the chipmunk is choking and coughing, and I, of course, am hysterically crying to see this because I sense Jean is speaking to me through this little animal. I have since termed domestic and wild animals open vessels because they are naturally open to allow spirit to speak. So this little guy, after 15 minutes of this choking, I literally see him cough up a hunk of mucus, and he's in peace. And I knew Jean was saying to me through this little open vessel, "I'm okay, Jamie." Now, the next thing that happened, a few days later, I had to fax his death certificate to Verizon to take his name off the account. And I had sent many multi-page faxes throughout the week, really, and throughout the day without any problem. But when it came time to fax his obituary and his death certificate, the cover letter faxed without a hitch. But then the machine hung up and would not fax either the death certificate or the obit. I tried 20 times. I finally gave up. The next day, I go to the lawyer. And I don't say why. I just hand the documents to the lawyer's secretary. And I say, "Would you just fax these for me to Verizon?" And I'm waiting and waiting. And finally, after 20 minutes, all the secretaries come out from the back. They're hysterically crying. They said, "Jamie, we tried 20 times. Each time the cover letter faxes, but the death certificate and the obit will not fax. He's trying to tell you he's not gone. This is what they say. So I go back to my home, and again I have to fax the obit somewhere else, and again Jean hangs it up. So I say to him out loud, I think you keep hanging it up because I keep forgetting you're still here. If I promise to try to remember, will you let this fax go through in its entirety? I feel a tidal wave of love pouring into me, so enormous. And I knew by the feeling that he was putting into me that he heard me and he was acknowledging, yes, okay, I'll let it go through. I reissue the fax. It goes through without a problem. Now, at this point, I'm starting to realize, Deborah, something pretty wild is happening because strangers are walking up to me. They didn't know Jean, don't know me, don't know I'm widowed, and they just say, your husband says, tell our story. And then they walk on. So it happened over and over and over again. Now, one day, I felt the need, for the first time in my life, to pray to him on behalf of my friend Emily. And I said to him, Jean, please help my friend Emily find love. Suddenly, again, I feel that tidal wave of love pouring into me. I look at the clock on the dashboard. It says 4:58. That night, Emily calls. Deborah, she says to me, Jamie, you will not believe what happened. I said, what happened? She said, at 4:58 exactly, I fell into a trance. She said, your husband came to me. Now, she had never seen him, hadn't even seen a picture of him. She describes him to a T. Mm-hmm. And she says that he told her, to find love, follow the gray stones to the church in your neighborhood. Now, by having her repeat my prayer to him, help her find love, he's proving to me, I'm here.
Absolutely.
And he's using her to validate. And, of course, he's also bringing her the gift of helping her find love by going to this church. Now, a week later, she comes to our professional group in the city, and she tells the story. After she gets to the part about the church in her neighborhood, another group member, a former seminarian, says, oh, what's the name of the church in your neighborhood? She says, the Claremont Church. He says, dear God, the Claremont Church is New York City's only liberation theology seminary. Remember, Jean founded liberation theology.
Yes.
So talk about putting his stamp on this manifestation. Unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
So now I'm just going to give you another little string of examples. And then, of course, when you read Love Never Dies, you'll see everything in chronology and you'll get a full sense of the story. This involves my phone. One day, I was very upset, and I was crying, and that was my hobby in the early days of my grief. I did a lot of that. The phone, I'm thinking, I've got to go get up off this floor and stop crying and call my friend Ann. And I'm thinking, no, don't bother her. It's the middle of her workday. Leave her in peace. After 20 minutes of this hemming and hawing in my mind, the phone rings. So I pull myself up off the floor. I run to get the phone. It's Ann. She says to me, Jamie, did you just call? I said, no, Ann, but I was thinking I had to call you. She said, Jamie, my phone rang, and your name and number appeared on the caller ID. Mm. So we were so flabbergasted that Jean did this in order to let her know that I needed to speak to her and to let me know, I'm aware, Jamie, that you want to talk to her.
Sure.
So a year later, I had a very bad cough. And I'm thinking, I'm going to suffocate to death the way Jean did. So I say to him out loud, Jean, I'm so frightened. If you're here with me now, please do that caller ID phone trick. This time, do it with my housekeeper, Donna. Please do it now. 2 seconds later, the phone rings. It's Donna. She says, Jamie, did you call? I said, no. She said, but Jamie, your name and number appeared on my caller ID. My phone rang. So now I'm at my writer's group, and I tell all the manifestations, including all the phone tricks, to the head of the writer's group, Gabe Davis, a devout Jewish atheist. So he says to me, you know, Jamie, I would like to see this caller ID phone trick repeated. And this time I'd like to see whether your phone shows a record of having dialed out. You know, the call log shows a dial out even though you didn't use the phone. I forget the challenge. A month later, I'm driving behind Gabe and his wife, Robin, to meet them for dinner. And suddenly, it's 4:54. And again, I feel that tidal wave of love just pouring into me. I look at the clock, and I notice the time. I get to the restaurant. Gabe runs up to me. He says, "Jamie, you will not believe what happened." I said, "What happened, Gabe?" He said, "At 4:54, my cell phone rang." He said, "I looked at the caller ID, and your name and number appeared on the ID. I picked the call up," he said, "and a man's voice said, 'Is Jamie there? Is Jamie there?'" He said the voice had an accent and prolonged the syllable "there." Well, Jean was French, and he did prolong that syllable. It sounded like "there." He said that it wasn't a real call. The voice just faded away. The call never clicked off. He says, "Go get your phone. See if it dialed me." I hadn't used it all day. I dig in the bottom of my purse. Sure enough, 4:54, the call log showed that it dialed Gabe. So what is the point, Deborah, of all these over-the-top manifestations? Remember, Jean asked me to tell our story. So the point is, these manifestations are for you and for everybody listening, because as Jean told me right after he left his body, "Jamie, let our love shine like a torch that lights the path for others." So our story is meant to let everybody know your loved ones are here with you too. They're just waiting for you to open the door of your heart and let them back in.
Absolutely. That's so beautiful. And now we're going to go right out to a break. We'll be back in a moment, everyone.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. It's a project, a mission, and a radio show. Come join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts every second Sunday at 6 p.m. as we celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for the spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start their own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project. Celebrating kids that empower others. That's every second Sunday at 6 p.m.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
It's a child's job to play, to learn, and to have fun. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. Did you know that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18? Every day, families enter the Children's Advocacy Center because of a child's courage to tell someone what happened to them. Keeping our children safe starts with a conversation. This is Michelle Aranger, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Learn more on how to keep your child safe. Visit cacofbc.org. This message made possible by the Fall River Rotary Club.
Invite the Kids for Love Project, an enrichment program, into your school, classroom, or wellness center. Kids for Love Project is focused on teaching kids unconditional love for self and others. The project is a journey into self-discovery. It consists of fun, creative tools to learn self-love, like "I choose love," "I am love," I stand in love, and utilizing one's energies with reconnective healing and tuning into one's intuition for inner guidance, plus connecting to our natural surroundings. Kids who hold love for self do not bully or harm others. Let's cultivate a kinder world that holds compassion for all. Teaching the power of love to our kids is the way. To learn more or to bring Kids for Love Project to your school, contact Deborah Beauvais, 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to our Kids for Love Project on Facebook. Tired of having more month than money? Maybe it's time to make a change. The Money Nerve Radio Show provides tools for you to manage your money and reduce your stress. Listen to The Money Nerve Radio Show with Bob Wheeler the fourth Sunday of each month at 6 p.m. Eastern. Visit themoneynerve.com to download smart financial tools. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
We go. And we are back. You're listening to the Love by Intuition show. You can hear this show every other week coming in September. Actually, Dr. Jamie's going to be the other 2 weeks, all at 9 p.m. You can listen to this show Monday through Friday, Love by Intuition, right on the Dream Vision 7 site. It's Dream Visions, all one word, with an S on the end, the number 7radio.com. We have an amazing format coming up in September. It's a surprise, but it's called Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. So stay tuned for all that will unfold there. We are with Dr. Jamie, aka Dr. Love. Dr. Jamie Turnoff, who is having a show right now with us, guesting, or being a guest, should I say, and doing her own show with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network starting August 19th and 20th. I'm so excited. But right now, we are going to talk about false beliefs. So you go right ahead, Jamie.
Oh, okay. So in part two of Love Never Dies, I begin to prepare the reader for making his or her own reconnection. So part two is all about overcoming all the false beliefs and the religious teachings that prevent so many people from reconnecting. And I also talk about the science of how it's possible to communicate with those in spirit. And actually, Love Never Dies is coming out in paperback next week, and I have actually added an expanded section on all the latest science and how it links up with quantum physics, and it's not hokey at all. Even the quantum physicists now get it. So I'm just going to talk, because we don't have much time, I'll just give one of the false beliefs. And then, of course, in part two, you can read all the other false beliefs. But this one is a real impediment for most people. And this false belief is that we're not supposed to stay in connection with loved ones in spirit. Now, how did I even discover that this false belief is so prevalent? Well, back up. Remember I said Jean was quoting something to me that first night back from Italy, and I didn't know what it was. He was quoting something I didn't recognize, and the next day I went to his priest, and I said to the priest, Jean's been talking to me, and he's quoting something. Now, the priest raised his brow in obvious skepticism, like, yo, this woman has lost her marbles. But then, when I told him what Jean was saying, the priest went white. He crossed himself, and he said, these are his words, "Dear God, Jamie, at first I didn't believe that Jean was speaking to you, but I do now." Then he told me that I was quoting an obscure biblical passage from the Communion of Saints, like I would have known. Remember, I said I never read the Bible, I never went to church, and Jean and I never discussed religion, at least not when he lived in a body. Now, it took me a year to understand why Jean chose to quote that and only that passage to me. Remember, he was a religious pioneer in life, and he continues to be in the afterlife. Now, what I discovered is the Communion of Saints says that our loved ones in spirit are one with or in communion with God and the saints. And since the Bible tells us we're supposed to stay in communion and communication with God and the saints, this means the Bible is telling us we're supposed to stay in communion and communication with our loved ones in spirit because they are one with God and the saints. So the point is, this is what Jean wants everybody to know, what we've been told about the afterlife is dead wrong, if you'll pardon the pun. We're not meant to live in an emotional wasteland, separated from those we love, waiting until we die and we enter heaven, because as Jean told me, heaven is a state, not a place. Heaven is all around us. Heaven is here and now. So this means we're supposed to reconnect with our loved ones in spirit now. And then, of course, I talk about all the other misconceptions, like you can't move on with your life, and they can't move on, you're holding them back, you aren't free to love anybody else, all these things. You're opening the door to evil. All of these, I explain to you why it is so not true. Then I also talk about the science behind spirit communication, and I'm basically demystifying the whole process of energetic communication, because what we're doing when we speak with those in spirit is we're just sending and receiving energetic signals, and we energetically communicate on a daily basis. We're all born with the innate ability to do it, and we do it. Think about when you're parked at a light and you look over at the driver and at the neighboring car. Doesn't that driver always look back at you? Always, because he senses the energetic frequency of your gaze. Don't twins always know when the other's in trouble, even when they live on opposite ends of the world? Energetic signals. Mothers sense when their babies are in trouble. Close couples know what the other's thinking. This is all energy. So I talk about this, and I basically explain to you how even the scientists from Thomas Edison to Albert Einstein, all of them have talked about this energetic communication. And even Einstein said energy cannot be destroyed. So basically, after you get done with part two of Love Never Dies, you are ready. You are now ready to begin your own energetic communication with a loved one in spirit. And basically, we can just move into this in preparation for our third segment. I show you in part three of Love Never Dies how you can establish your own reconnection with loved ones in spirit without a medium, without a channeler, without a psychic, because we all have the innate ability to communicate energetically. Right. And so basically what I show you in part three of Love Never Dies is how to tune your brain to what I call the spirit channel. Now, Jean showed me how to do this. And in Love Never Dies, I show everybody who reads the book how to do it. So I'll just give, if I may, a few little highlights, okay?
Sure. And then the more that you do this and cultivate it,
you get better.
Exactly.
Because it's like anything else. When you first go to the gym, you have no muscle, and you drop the weights. But we're just learning how to develop our spirit muscle, and with practice, we get better.
Exactly.
So the first thing I show you how to do, the first chapter in part three, is what I call creating a state of receptivity. Because Jean told me very early on, Jamie, the noise of the day drowns me out. So anytime you want to hear me, come to the bed and be still and quiet. So I show you how to create pockets of peace, how to sit in silence, how to turn off the TV and the music, how to find the peaceful practice that's right for you, whether it be yoga, tai chi, qigong. And then I also show you a specific breathing exercise because, as Jean showed me, spirit is born on the breath. I also show you how to surrender to your emotional states without getting too upset. And I show you how to use the twilight state, which is right when you wake up or right before you go to sleep, to help you nudge your way into energetic communication with a loved one in spirit. Then I also help you use nature, which really brings you into the now. And it's in the now that we connect with spirit. And then I have some fun exercises to help you open up your five senses. Because remember, beings in spirit are pure energy. So this means they are energetically sending signals to all your senses. So the more your sensory receiver is turned on, the easier it is for you to perceive the signs that are being sent to you all the time. Now, this leads us into the next chapter in part three of Love Never Dies, recognizing the signs. Because so many people will say to me, oh, I'm not getting signs. But then when I lay out the signs, and I do this in this chapter, I give you all kinds of examples, and I categorize them. People will invariably say to me, oh, well, that happened to me, and so did that. I just didn't notice. I wasn't paying attention. Because, again, freed from the human vessel, your loved ones in spirit are able to influence the material world in infinite ways. They can create odd sounds. They can create odd physical sensations, sensations of a draft, temperature changes, chills, goose flesh. They love symbolic communication, butterflies, and they also will often manifest coins as part of symbolic communication. This is a really good example of this. It was this year, and I had a patient named Kyla in my office. And I said, you know, this is the anniversary week of Jean's bodily departure, and he always drops coins on me that were minted the year he left his body. And Kyla blinks, and she says, oh, my gosh, Jamie, I almost forgot. I was in my bedroom this week. My cowboy boots that I'm wearing now were off, and she said a coin just started careening from the ceiling and landed in my boot. And I had the feeling that it was for you, and so I didn't take it out. So she says, let me give it to you now. At that moment, I hear Jean say, you'll see, it was minted the year I left my body. It was for you. And she hands it to me, and it was minted the year he left his body.
Yeah.
So
amazing.
I know. So from becoming aware of the signs is sufficient for most people to begin the process of reconnecting. But now, here, Deborah, is where Love Never Dies takes spirit communication to an entirely new place. In fact, the CEO of Hay House said to me, Jamie, we've never seen anything like what you do next. What I do is I show you how you can dialogue back and forth with the departed to reconnect, to obtain guidance, and, of course, to heal unfinished business and make peace. So
with that,
do we have to take a break? And then when we come back to part, you know, section, segment three, we can go more into this.
Yes, that sounds wonderful.
Okay.
And I want to put out your website. It is askdrlove.com. Just as it sounds, askdr is drlove.com. And you can catch her on Twitter at askdrlove, as well as Facebook. And we're going to give the numbers out right this second, which is 617-237-1234. This is Alex that will answer the phone for you. He's in the house waiting for your call. Again, 617-237-1234. Toll free 866-338-9663. And we'll be back in a moment.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Sundays 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Sunday 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
The goal of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Foundation is to cultivate a more peaceful world by creating awareness that we can choose love. By providing tools for our children and communities, we can enable them to develop a healthy level of optimism that leads to resilience. Our mission is to give people the understanding that they can choose love by living a life with gratitude, having the ability to forgive, and to be compassionate. This is a proactive effort towards mental health that'll provide children and adults with the perspective and wisdom they need to be able to navigate through life in a happy, fulfilled, and meaningful way. Our website is jessielewischooselove.org.
The pressure is on. Can you feel it? Life as we've known it is no longer working. Why? We are awakening. The true core self is alive within us now and has a new life to live. What does this mean? How do we live from here? Join us live every third Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern as spiritual embodiment coach and trainer Ambujam Rose explains this mass awakening. Ambujam's direct approach teaches you how to navigate this new wild ride, educates you on how to strengthen your spiritual core, and takes your calls for personal spiritual core training. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Back, and we are with Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I have to say that this is a book that everyone should have. It's just an amazing read and just a lovely story, just pulls your heartstrings. It's Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. And Jamie's going to share with you how to do that. And we're welcoming calls, 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234. And one of those things I wanted to just ask you, and anyway, I just have to put it out there. When we are so connected to our loved one, mm-hmm. we hang on to a shirt, you know, mm-hmm. anything we can to smell the scent, and we mm-hmm. hold on that. And then when it leaves, it's like, oh, my gosh. Mm. And what touched me was that you asked. You wanted that smell back, and then you became the vehicle.
I know. I smelled like a Frenchman. You know, it's so funny because during the break, your husband came through, and here we were. He was giving an example of how he was dialoguing with you through me, using me as a human open vessel. He showed me through clairsentience a gesture that he used to use with you to express love, and I've never seen this before, the way he showed me putting his hand lovingly to hold your cheek. Yeah. It was such a beautiful thing. So what we're talking about here is that how spirits dialogue with us, right? And they dialogue with us in various ways. In this case, he showed me a sign. He showed me a sign of how he used to love you, and he brought that to me. So they will communicate with us, obviously, through signs. They'll communicate through dreams. They'll communicate through mind melding or thought induction. Now, to come back to signs, signs are a static form of communication where they drop a sign on us, like they drop the coin, right? But here's where, as I said, Love Never Dies takes communication with spirit beings to a whole new level, because I show you how you can do a back and forth communication using signs, using open vessels, and using earthly props. Earthly props are usually electronic devices. So can I give you an example? Can I give everybody listening
sure.
an example that to show you the difference between static signs, where they just drop a sign on us, versus how we can bring the signs to life and communicate back and forth? Okay, so here is an example that happened this year. It was the anniversary week of Jean's bodily departure. I went to my chiropractor, and Teresa was at the reception desk. We were alone in the office, and I told her, this is the anniversary of Jean's bodily departure, and Love Never Dies is being published this week, really, and I'm coming and doing my first public talk. Instantly, I smell gardenias. I did not say a word. And then Teresa said to me, "Jamie, do you smell gardenias?" So I said, "Teresa, that's called the scent of sanctity. Jean is giving us both a sign that he's here." Okay? So he dropped the same sign on both of us. Now, the next day, I saw a patient named Regina who needs to reconnect with her sister in spirit. And I told her the story about the scent of gardenias. Now, at that moment, I heard Jean speaking to me through thought induction, and he said to me, "But I wish that I could give you a bouquet of roses." So he was dialoguing with me by inducing the thought in my mind. But here's how he went into a back-and-forth dialogue by using my patient to facilitate the dialogue. My patient sits up, and she says to me, "Jamie, do you smell roses?" Now, in that really elegant manifestation, he put the smell in her sensory apparatus, using her to facilitate a back-and-forth dialogue between him and me, because he was letting me know, "You heard me right when I said I wish I could give you roses," right?
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, he's also bolstering my patient's confidence in her ability to hear spirit so that she could reconnect with her sister. Now, I want to give you a really neat example that happened recently. And this is a really good example of how Jean dialogues with me and how your loved ones dialogue with you and can dialogue with you through a human open vessel and through an earthly prop, in this case, a computer. So I did the radio show with, I'm jet lagged, right? The show Coast to Coast. And after I came off Coast to Coast, Love Never Dies became an overnight bestseller. It sold out on Amazon. And I get an email from a guy who heard me on the show. And he says to me, "I have to tell you, my brains are blowing up with messages that your husband is giving me for you." So he's an open vessel. So we get on the phone. And he says to me, the first thing he says is he starts saying things in Italian and in French. And he says to me, "Jamie, I'm a hillbilly. I don't know no Italian," which is hilarious. And I believed him because he had this heavy, heavy hillbilly accent. But then it was Valentine's Day, a couple days later, and he says to me, "You will not believe what just happened." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Listen to this." He said, "I was sitting in front of my computer, and with my hands in my lap, not touching the computer, I heard Jean say, 'Send Jamie the photo of the peach-colored rose.'" Now, nobody in the world knows, not only did Jean give me roses every week, they were peach-colored. The guy says that his computer opened up a photo of a peach-colored rose. His wife is a photographer, and in her collection, there were photos of roses. And the computer opens up a peach rose, and then it opens up the caption for the rose, and the rose photo is called Peaches and Cream. Now, the night before, this guy had written to me, and he had said, "Jean wants you to know your time is now," to which I wrote back, "Jean always told me the cream rises to the top, and the photo, Peaches and Cream." So what I show you how to do here is I show you how to dialogue using earthly props, using electronic devices, using open vessels, humans and animals, and how you can engage in a back-and-forth dialogue. I use my meditation for making contact. We do this also in Hay House Radio. It's amazing. I put the audience, the listeners, into a trance, and then we go forward with my dialoguing with the departed technique. So here, after you're in the trance, I help you talk back and forth. And this is so important. If someone was ripped from you due to sudden illness or an accidental death, if you need support, as we all do, traveling down the bumpy road called life, if you want help in completing your spiritual development and you need help with spirit guidance, they're all here for you to do this. And so I show you how to dialogue back and forth. Now, if you are one of the millions of people who has some kind of unfinished business, now I show you how to use my dialoguing with the departed technique to actually heal the unfinished business. And I show you how to dialogue in writing, using a tape recorder, Now, this is the one thing I want everybody to know, because this is so important. Often we have to wait until a loved one has left his or her body in order to work it out. Because in spirit form, they're more evolved. In spirit form, they see how they messed up with us. And I learned this the first week after Jean left his body. I went into the car garage for car repair. They didn't know me. Jean did the car thing. I introduced myself to Debbie, tell her that Jean left his body from the bee sting. In 1 second, she says to me, "I'm a widow, too." And her husband starts pounding down my door, and he says, "Please tell her to stop making the same mistake I did with our son, because now she's creating the same power struggle." Well, she bursts into tears, and she says, "It's true." But what was so significant about this example is that I realized her husband needed to be out of his body to realize how he messed up with their son.
Sure.
Now, there's one other thing that is so important to realize, and I discovered this as well. They need us to help them evolve spiritually. Now, it was Good Friday, and I discovered this. Jean sent me to Lainey's house. She's the bird lady. I didn't know her personally, but she tried to help us save our little canary Fluffy, and she was unsuccessful. So it's years later, and Jean's sending me there, and I go into her studio, and she points out a little Gouldian finch, and the finch is not doing well at all. It's about to keel over, and she said, "It hasn't eaten in a day. It's so small. If it doesn't get food by nightfall, it will be dead." So I said, "Can I help the bird?" She says, "If you want." I go over to the cage, and I start energetically communicating with the bird, but I speak aloud so she can hear me. I tell the bird, "Go down to your seed bowl, start eating." The bird listens, scarfs up seeds like a little mini vacuum, and I can see the bird is getting perked up and is chirping. But now the bird starts craning its neck, and I can see the bird is upset, and it's sensing a spirit presence. Well, the upshot of the whole thing is I hear her mother in spirit saying, "I'm sorry I was such a weakling. I didn't protect you from him." Lainey confirms her mom always said she was a weakling and she didn't protect him. Now the father comes through. He's in spirit, obviously, as well. And he starts saying, "I'm begging you to confront me over how I sexually molested you. I can't rest in peace until I know that you're all right, and I know you're still scared of me, and I can't evolve spiritually until I face the music about what I've done." So we dialogued back and forth, and by the time I left, she was in peace with him. And I see this again and again on the Hay House radio show, people who have unfinished business from decades ago. We dialogue and we heal. So, and this is one last little piece that is so important, right? And to me, this is the neatest part of all. We both know, Deborah, that our purpose on earth here is to perfect our ability to love ourselves and others. This is our love lab. But we can't love others if we don't love ourselves. Now, I am living proof of the challenge, how do you love yourself, when you were raised in an abusive family. I was beaten physically. I was beaten verbally. I tell this whole story in Love Never Dies. My problem was I continued to hear my parents' mean voices putting me down in my head, and it didn't stop. And no matter how many years I was with Jean, 27 years, his love did not succeed in shutting those voices down. After he left his body, I went to my professional group in the city, and I was upset, and I said, "I cannot get their voices to stop. They're destroying my self-esteem. No matter how successful I am, they're tearing me down." Everybody said, "Oh, just yell louder. Tell them to shut the F up." I said, "That's not working. It's not working." I knew it didn't work. It doesn't work for my patients. I come home from the city, and I am crying, and I am begging Jean, "Please help me resolve this."
Till the next time, everyone out there, au revoir.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week, all designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Buffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. 866-226-1723 or link on to lovebyintuition.com. Remember, we are all one and we are all part of the miracle of love.